Today is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of the Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mountain of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all of the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's lovely to be preaching to you this Sunday. And unlike last Sunday, I've had a little bit more notice. And I know some of you have listened to the talk you were supposed to get last Sunday. We put it up on our YouTube channel, and Keith Hagen's talk is absolutely great, and we've had some rave reviews. So if you haven't heard that talk, please go to our YouTube channel and watch it. I do hope you're all doing well. It is surreal. Some of us, it's just like a holiday. Other people, it's a massive struggle. Joe Wigley, many of you will know, is poorly. We don't know what it is, but she's now self-isolating. And yet for other families, it's just school holiday time. So we're all experiencing different things at the moment. And I'm just so conscious how privileged we are here in this beautiful part of the world, in the countryside. I can take my exercise, my government-approved exercise, by taking my dog for a walk. I can go for a run. The shops are fully stocked now. And I have to say, I'm so pleased I'm away from London. When I think of what could go on in the Middle East and Africa if, heaven forbid, this pandemic gets a grip in the townships and the refugee camps and the squatter camps, it sends a shiver down my spine. People say that this pandemic takes no regard of your education or your class or your background or anything like that, but I'm afraid the awful truth is the furthest down the pile we are, the poorer we are, the bigger the effect of this virus. So where do we turn to for hope? Well, we should turn to Jesus Christ. And this Sunday is the start of Holy Week, and we call it Palm Sunday. I'm sorry we haven't been able to deliver any palm crosses, but I've got this left over from last year. You may be asking, so what? So what about Palm Sunday? And I think in our culture, the significance of sacred days has at times been long forgotten. We live our lives on the surface so much of the time in frenetic activity, seldom adding depth to any given moment. We surf and skim over a body of information, but really do we dive into the depths of knowledge, much less wisdom? There are, and I've said this before, no real thin times, as the ancient Celts would have noted, times when the separation between the eternal and the temporal are thin enough to walk the soul between both worlds. But without that sensibility, we are lesser people. So here's the so what. Palm Sunday is the traditional beginning of what has been known throughout Christian history as Holy Week, a week designed to focus our attention on what we call the passion, or in other words, the suffering of Christ. The story of Christ, which is a title meaning Messiah, is the story of God himself coming to earth in the form of a human being, a man named Jesus, living the perfect, sinless life and then willingly going to the cross in order to die for the sins of the world. And the tradition of Holy Week began when Christians made pilgrimages to Jerusalem. And they had a natural desire to try and reenact the last scenes of the life of Christ in dramas. And we're going to be watching one such reenactment on Good Friday at noon at 3 p.m. For those of you who are on Facebook, you can watch that reenactment in a passion play filmed by the Wintershall drama group. It's very, very powerful indeed. And so this dates back many, many centuries. There are 5 days in this week that are set apart, and it begins today on Palm Sunday and then includes Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then Easter Sunday. Maundy Thursday denotes when Jesus washed his disciples' feet during what is known as the Last Supper on the night he was betrayed. The word Maundy is built from the Latin word for command, because when Jesus washed their feet, he said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you." It's why some churches actually have a foot washing ceremony or service on Maundy Thursday. I'm not going to be washing feet on Maundy Thursday at our 7:30 online service, but I am going to be doing something akin to that, and I hope you will that will resonate with those of you who are able to join us then. Good Friday is the day we mark the anniversary of when Jesus was crucified. And I know it sounds a bit crazy to use that expression, that word, good. What can possibly be good about the day our Lord and Saviour was crucified? Well, sin is not good, suffering is not good, but what Jesus did for us, what his death accomplished on our behalf, was really good. Good because he took all our sins, he then hung in our place, paying the price for our sins that we could be forgiven. And on Good Friday, I'll be offering a short reflection on our live stream channel at 11:45 in the morning. And that will be followed by, as I said, the Passion Play from Wintershall, which you can view on Facebook. There'll also then be a meditation at 2 p.m. for those who'd like to join that. So on to Saturday, and what of it? Well, Holy Saturday, the day before Easter Sunday, marks the time of Jesus in the tomb. And to be honest, there's not much associated with this day, although it is named Holy Saturday. Perhaps because few know what to do with the obscure verses Peter offers us surrounding Jesus descending into the depths of hell. The medievalists called it the harrowing of hell, and that is perhaps its fullest sense. What it certainly is, that it was a victory lap. And then, of course, comes Easter Sunday, and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And we'll be broadcasting three services, a 10 a.m. traditional service, a 3 p.m. children's service, and then our 5 p.m. Easter Alive service. Easter Day is a day that so altered human history that we are still talking of it and marking it some 2,000 years later. I can't think of another event like it. But it all begins this weekend with Palm Sunday, the day of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Let me just remind you of some of those verses we've had read to us. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied. If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. We have to understand that this was a fervour that would have eclipsed the mood when Johnny Wilkinson scored that winning rugby goal at the World Cup back in 2003. Andy Murray won Wimbledon. England won the World Cup in 66. Lewis Hamilton wins the British Grand Prix. Or when my Land Rover was finally back on the road. Now, Palm Sunday is the celebration of Jesus that Jesus deserves. Yes, Hosanna quickly turned into cries of crucify him. And it was one of the most tragic turns of events, perhaps second only to the fall, where humans turned from worship to rejection. On Good Friday, Jesus sets out on his agonizing journey to the cross, blooded and beaten by the cruel scourging he has received. Knowing what lies ahead, we can contrast his experiences to the previous Sunday, only 5 days before, to the triumphal entry that is described by Luke, this time with crowds cheering and shouting and waving and laying down palm fronds as a mark of respect to a king. Nothing could be a greater contrast, and nothing could have seen Jesus' prospects and fortunes so strangely and dramatically reversed over only these 5 days. Luke is showing us the radical difference between Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and his last exit from it. Well, it's the total reversal of values and standards of the world that happens with the advent of the kingdom of God. It is what happens in our hearts when we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And it's what Palm Sunday calls us to remember. After Jesus enters to acclaim, he moved to clear the table. Not willing to succumb to a celebrity culture, he made it clear what the demands of following him would entail. That's what changed Hosanna into crucify. People were confronted by the weight and the consequences of God. They had to choose between a tame God or a real God. And now it plays out again, not in human history, but in our own lives. Every day, do we believe in God? And much harder, do we believe God? The former is actually much easier to do. You see, those cheering no doubt believed in God. But did they believe God? Had they believed in his son Jesus? Luke makes it very clear that his triumphal entry is entirely appropriate for Jesus. Even the stones would cry out at the passing of the Son of God, who will bring salvation to the whole world through his own Passover action on the cross. But Jesus himself is in no way carried along by the bravado and the moment. At this time of his greatest popularity, he weeps for Jerusalem because she doesn't understand his coming at all. He says, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Luke here at the triumphal entry is showing that Jesus truly is a king, but that Jerusalem did not recognize what sort of king he was. Because Jesus went on to reign from the cross of his crucifixion, a symbol of scorn, disdain and ridicule and a pathetic powerlessness. And yet this throne was where he achieved his greatest victory and that the world has ever seen, and which we celebrate, remember, and we're going to feed upon in a moment, together with millions of other Christians around the world in our Lord's Supper, in our Holy Communion. And so as this Passion Week begins, some 2,000 years after Jesus did this, we face the same question that these disciples did. Are we just along for the ride, happy with God so long as things go our way, so long as this pandemic doesn't touch us, doesn't interfere with us, hoping that he will fulfill our own hopes and desires? Or in this dusty road of pilgrimage into Jerusalem as we praise God, are we also ready to follow not just Jesus into Jerusalem, but also into his exit, into trouble, controversy, trial, and death? If Jesus knew that a donkey was going to be waiting for him in the next town, he certainly knows what is down the road for you. You may not know how this pandemic is going to pan out for you or those you love. You may not know whether you'll have a job at the end of it. You may not know about your exam grades and the future of your education, but Jesus does. You may not know what the future holds, but Jesus already has in mind how he plans to provide for you. Understanding that Jesus knows all things gives us confidence to follow his directions. Though Satan would have us believe otherwise, living by Jesus' words will never send you down the blind alley or on a wasted journey. And Jesus doesn't expect us to follow him on our own. We are powered as his followers by the Holy Spirit, and he gives us food for the journey, spiritual food, the Lord's Supper. But I wonder if we feel up to following him. Do we feel worthy of receiving this spiritual food? Well, the good news is that when we turn to Jesus, prepared to admit our mistakes, be open and transparent with him over all the things we have done wrong, and to ask him for his forgiveness, he promises to forgive and restore us. So as we come to celebrate in the Lord's Supper, let's join together with these words of confession. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. The Lord, who is faithful and just, forgive us our sins. Create and make in us a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within us, through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.